tonight. Why a sacrifice? What was the purpose in the Old Testament? What was a sacrifice in the Old Testament? What did they do? How was it supposed to be performed? These are some of the things. Right? But more importantly, we're going to get into what is a sacrifice in the New Testament. How does it apply to us? And how can this benefit me as a Christian? Well, before I start, I'd like to share with you a story that I heard Monday night. Sacrifice. That can mean a lot of things, can't it? I mean, what do you give up for somebody? That can be a sacrifice. What have you done for somebody that hurt you, that caused you pain, for not for your good, but for somebody else's? Well, on Monday night, we were having dinner, my wife and I, with Lynn Buell, Paul and Dorothy Han, and Isabel Garlock. And Paul and Dorothy were sharing a story that they are has been going on in their marriage for many years until recently. And I thought when I heard this, what a sacrifice that dear man, Paul Hannon, has been making. For years now, Paul Hannon has been eating cornbread his wife has been making. And he does not like cornbread. I thought, what a sacrifice. And Brother Hannon, you are an inspiration to us all. Sacrifices happen all the time around us. And I want to talk tonight, again, about the purpose of them. So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5. I don't remember how that came up, by the way. But it did. In the Old Testament, first of all, the root word means to draw near. So this, the meaning of the word itself reveals something to us about what the purpose of it is going to be, to draw near to God. In the Old Testament, there seems to be two purposes, a twofold purpose for sacrifice. The first purpose was to allow for a relationship with God. That is, to make right a relationship with God that maybe has something that's gone wrong in it. Basically, there were two types of sacrifices for this purpose. The first sacrifice for this purpose was the sin offering. The Hebrew term meant an offense. And the sin offerings were done for sin. The offering for this was done for sins of ignorance, error, unintentional. And this passage is going to come from Leviticus chapter 4. That's something you read on your own later. We're not going to read that. These were just any type of sin that you didn't mean to do. In ignorance, you performed it. So these type of offerings were done for that. And the purpose of the sin offering was to cleanse the penitent sinner. The method of the sin offering, the offerer would take his animal, what he's going to offer, he would lay his hands on the offering, thus demonstrating the transfer of his sins to this beast that was going to be offered on his behalf. And this animal would now be destroyed. It would become, if you will, a body of death. A body of sin. When I'm reading in Romans 6 and verse 6 and Romans 7 and 24, I can't help but thinking of this animal becoming, in the Old Testament, that body of sin on behalf of that person, that body of death on behalf of the person who's offering this sin offering. The other type of offering that was offered for the purpose of making right a relationship with God was a trespass offering. So the first one was a sin offering, the second one is a trespass offering. A trespass offering was kind of similar to the first one. But in addition to an offering for sin, it actually required compensation. So it would be that if you had performed a sin, you had to make it right. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally in any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation a ram without blemish out of the flock, valued in silver shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering." A guilt offering is also known as a trespass offering. Verse 16, "He shall also make restitution for what he has done amiss in the holy thing, and shall add a fifth to it and give to the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him and the ram of the guilt offering, and he shall be forgiven." So the purpose of the trespass offering was to make right a wrong. If you had withheld your tithing from God, you would give that tithing back to God as restitution. And then you would have to give to the priest as well. So there was a trespass offering and a sin offering. The purpose of this was to make right a relationship with God that has gone wrong. That's the first purpose of Old Testament sacrifice. The second purpose was to commune with God. And there was a number of sacrifices or offerings that were performed for this purpose. There was the peace offerings, the free will offerings, and thanksgiving offerings. And some of these had multiple offerings in and of themselves. I want to share with you a quote that I have from Alfred Endersheim regarding the purpose of Old Testament sacrifices. "These were then either sacrifices of communion with God or else intended to restore that communion when it had been disturbed or dimmed through sin and trespasses. Sacrifices in communion or for communion with God. So he gives two purposes to sacrifices in the Old Testament. Either to make right a relationship with God, or a sacrifice just demonstrating that we want to be in fellowship with him, to draw near to him. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. In this passage, we're going to see that it's not just the sacrifice itself, but the heart that was also so important to God. I mean, we could come and we could offer our sacrifices to God, but if our heart wasn't right, what good was it? Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. These passages demonstrate to us that there was something even greater than the sacrifice itself. The heart of the man was supposed to be right with God. If you were to bring an offering to God, but you weren't right, it was rejected by God. He says, you're offering prayers to me, but I'm not listening. The sacrifices you are offering to me make me sick. Did you catch the words he used? They're so dramatic, if you will. Again, he says in verse 14, I am weary of bearing them. God has got to the point that he was sick and tired of the offerings they were bringing to him. They meant nothing to him anymore. In fact, if anything, they were viewed as negative. Because God wanted something more from them than just a sacrifice. He wanted their heart to be right. So we see here that it was so important for them to offer their sacrifices, but they had to do so with a good heart. I want to read to you another quote from Alfred Edersheim regarding these passages. Such passages inveigh against sacrifices offered without real repentance or change of mind. For the sacrifices of the Old Testament were not merely outward observances, a sort of work righteousness which justified the offer by the mere fact of his obedience, because it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So Alfred Edersheim says it's much more than just going through the motions. If it was just the motions, then it's fine. But he adds on a quote from Hebrews chapter 10:4, the blood of bulls and goats don't take away sins. So there had to be something greater to it than just the sacrifice. The heart of the man had to be right. In the nature of the Old Testament sacrifices, I already mentioned, there was a number of them. There were at least 9 specifically mentioned in the Old Testament. I'm going to read those to you very quickly. There was a daily sacrifice, which consisted of a burnt sacrifice and a meal and drink sacrifice. This was to be done twice daily. There was a Sabbath sacrifice, which included the daily sacrifices, plus additional burnt, meal, and drink offerings. In addition to these two, which were regular ones, there were 7 special occasion sacrifices. There was the new moons, the Feast of Trumpets, also called the seventh month. This was in the seventh month. There was also the Passover, the Unleavened Bread, the Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. These were those that were very clearly prescribed by God that were required to be done. There were additional ones which a person might take on himself if they have done something wrong. We talked a minute ago about sin offerings and trespass offerings. These were things that weren't, they didn't fall into this category necessarily. These were things that because you have done something wrong, you wanted to make restitution, you wanted to make a right, you brought these voluntarily before God. And you could voluntarily offer thanksgiving sacrifices too. These things were done in addition to all these other ones. And in fact, some of the Jewish people were so worried that they may have done something wrong unbeknownst to themselves, that many of them would offer trespass offerings on a daily or multiple times a day. They did not want to have a sin on their head that was unaccounted for, so they would offer multiple trespass offerings daily, sometimes multiple times a day. These are what they did on a regular basis. The sacrifices were, again, there was very many of them. They were time-consuming. Most of them, or many of them at least, were very bloody. They also required, many of them required a priest to perform. Tradition states that on the Day of Atonement, over 500 priests would be in service on this day. Over 500 priests. The temple would be hopping with activity on the Day of Atonement. And it goes on to state, and tradition says, there were other feasts that had even more priests working than this one. So it required a lot of manpower. This was the Old Testament sacrifice. This was the nature of Old Testament sacrifices. And here's what the purpose of them was. Again, we talked about the fact they were to restore a relationship. They were to help us in communion with God. But there was another purpose, if you will. They acted as a substitution for the one who was making the offering. The New Testament reality of this is Christ became our substitute. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In the Old Testament, when they were bringing their animal, we talked a minute ago, they would lay their hands on the animal to be offered. And again, this was to demonstrate a transfer of their sins to the beast. And Alfred Edersheim says, when they laid their hands on the beast, they were to push down on it with all their might. And the reason for this was it was believed that in doing this, they were transferring the guilt, the weight of sin which set upon them, which rested upon their shoulders. They were transferring this to the beast, which then would be killed. And of course, as we already mentioned, the Old Testament sacrifices had problems. They weren't perfect. There were shortcomings. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to begin reading in verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. The sacrifices themselves simply serve to remind the people that they had sins in their life. They couldn't do anything with the sins. Look at verse 4. It is a simply reminder of the sin because, verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So that there was a shortcoming, if you will, to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean God's plan was not good, because this was only the beginning of God's plan. God planned for this Old Testament sacrifice because it had a meaning which was going to carry over to the New Testament, which was going to see a much greater fulfillment in the New Testament. And that's where I want to go to now. So a recap of the Old Testament sacrifices. The purpose was to restore communion with God or to simply be in communion with God. They required a lot of work. There was many of them. They may have been bloody. They may have been difficult to perform. And they required the right heart. But they were all, in spite of all this stuff, they still could not perform the task perfectly. In the New Testament, the purpose of the sacrifice has not changed. The purpose of the sacrifice in the Old Testament was, again, to restore communion and in communion with God. And has that changed today? When we think about what a sacrifice is today, has it changed? The sacrifice in the New Testament, when I was going through my notes and reading these things and studying on it and thinking about it, I haven't read this anywhere, so if I'm wrong and you want to show me in the passage in the Bible later, please do so. But when I was studying this, I came to the conclusion there are only two sacrifices in the New Testament. I want to talk about both of those tonight. The first one is Christ Himself. The first one is Christ Himself. Christ offered Himself as a covenant sacrifice. In the book of Exodus, chapter 24, we're not going to turn there, but God established the people of Israel as His covenant people. And in doing so, they offered a sacrifice which never had to be re-offered again. Read Exodus 24 on your own. The sacrifice that is made there was a one-time sacrifice, a covenant sacrifice. Christ's offering of Himself was a covenant sacrifice. This covenant sacrifice was, again, only offered one time. It needed no renewal, and it identified the people of God. And again, that's what the purpose of Christ's sacrifice was too. It was a covenant sacrifice. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Beginning in verse 26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifice daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. So we see from this passage that Christ's sacrifice was a one-time event. Go down to chapter 10, same book. I want to begin reading in verse 11. Chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." So again, these passages demonstrate that Christ's sacrifice was, again, just like in Exodus 24, a one-time event, needed no renewal, and it identified the people of God. Those who were a part of this covenant, God put the law on their hearts and on their minds. So again, Christ was a covenant sacrifice for us. Number two, Christ was a sin offering for us. I said there's only two sacrifices in the Old Testament, Christ being one. But Christ's sacrifice, as we're going to show here, had many purposes and fulfilled in a lot of ways many sacrifices, even though it was only a single sacrifice. So another type of sacrifice that he was a sin sacrifice, a sin offering. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, I'm going to read this to you. We see that he is seen as one crushed for our iniquities. Verse 5 reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." So in the sin offering, again, the sin, the beast they offered in the Old Testament was seen as taking upon it the sins of the one who offered it. And it says here that Christ was crushed for our iniquities. And the passage we just read in Hebrews chapter 7, if you're still in Hebrews, go back to that same passage and read it again. This time, don't read it for the covenant sacrifice, but read it recognizing that he was a sin sacrifice. Verse 26 of Hebrews 7. "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily for his own sins and then for those of the other people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself." He doesn't have to do this on a repeated basis. He doesn't have to offer one for his own sins. He did this once and for all. A covenant sacrifice, which was also a sin sacrifice. And Christ was also our trespass offering, our trespass sacrifice. Turn to Isaiah 53. I have a lot of scripture tonight, so hopefully you guys are all ready with that. Isaiah 53. Notice verse 10 here. And after I read this passage, I want to share with you a quote from G. Rawlinson. Isaiah 53:10. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for sin. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Now listen to the quote regarding this passage. Offerings for sin, which is a quote from Isaiah 53:10, offerings for sin, or guilt offerings, were distinct from sin offerings. The object of the former, that is guilt offerings or trespass offerings, the object of the former was satisfaction, of the latter, expiation. The servant of Jehovah was, however, to be both. As in verse 5, the divine servant is represented as a sin offering, his death being an expiation, so he is here described as a guilt offering, his death being our satisfaction. So Christ is seen as a covenant sacrifice, as a sin sacrifice, as a trespass sacrifice. I'm not going to go through all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, but I am convinced that if we did, we would see that in a very real sense, Christ was the completion or the perfection of every one of those sacrifices. Is every single one of those. I believe he fulfilled it. He completed it. He perfected the sacrifices. In a very real way, He became those sacrifices. The second sacrifice that I want to talk about that is seen in the New Testament is that of ourselves. And I believe these are the two sacrifices that we see in the New Testament. And the second one, again, being us. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to read verse 1. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." A.T. Robertson, he made a comment on this passage, and he says when the Apostle Paul uses that phrase, to present, he says he is using here a very technical term for offering a sacrifice. We are here seen as a burnt offering. In the Old Testament, a burnt offering was something that was, and literally, it meant a whole burnt offering. And what it was the beast was completely given to God. Except for the skin, the beast was completely burned. The burnt offering, the Hebrew word, means to ascend. And it is believed that this refers to the smoke, which was ascending up to God. So the Hebrew word for burnt offering means to ascend. Okay, and the whole burnt offering was just that, a complete giving of the beast to God. And here in Romans 12, verse 1, we are seen as that burnt offering. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This sacrifice, when you read in the Old Testament, the burnt sacrifice, I'm going to just give you some scriptures to read later if you want to. Exodus 29, 38 through 42. Numbers 28, 3 through 8. If you read these passages, you'll notice that the burnt sacrifice was to be done not just daily, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, was to be offered twice daily. Why is that so important then when he says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? The Apostle Paul is not just saying give yourself to God on a daily basis. Give yourself to God on a continual basis. There's not to be an end to our giving of ourselves to God. And this is, again, a burnt sacrifice that we're seeing here. I want to share with you another quote from Adam Clark regarding this passage. To present your bodies, a metaphor taken from bringing sacrifices to the altar of God. The person offering picked out the choicest of his flock, brought it to the altar, and presented it there as an atonement for his sin. They are exhorted to give themselves up in the spirit of sacrifice, to be as holy the Lord's property as the whole burnt offering was, no part being devoted to any other use. When we give ourselves to God as Christians, we're to give ourselves to God completely, on a regular basis, in such a way that, as Adam Clark said, no part is being devoted to any other use. And he also pointed out here that we are to offer him, that they offered him the choicest of his flock. We're to give to God our bodies, our spirits, in such a way that we are giving Him the very best that we have to give Him. And again, it is a continual giving of ourselves. I want to read to you one more quote on this passage. Alfred Edersheim said that regarding the burnt sacrifice, it has rightly been called the sacrifice of devotion and service, because the burnt sacrifice was just that. It demonstrated a giving of yourself completely to God. And the Apostle Paul again calls us to do just that. The sacrifices that we offer as Christians, when we offer ourselves to God today, we do so in such a way that all of our sacrifices are contingent or rely upon the one that Christ gave. If Christ hadn't given Himself, if Christ hadn't become the covenant sacrifice for us, what good would it do for me to be offering myself on a regular basis? What good would it do for me to be offering myself on a regular basis if Christ hadn't offered Himself as a sin offering, as a trespass offering? I want to read, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 4. Look at what the Apostle Peter says here. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I think this is really, really interesting and important. We need to recognize that the sacrifices we offer to God are through Jesus Christ. You see, He was our covenant sacrifice. Nothing we offer to God can be apart from Him and be accepting. Nothing we offer to God can be separated from Christ and be pleasing to Him. We as Christians no longer have to go through the grueling tasks they had to in the Old Testament. We don't have to bring beasts to the priest on a regular basis. We don't have to do it ourselves if we have a sin in our life. We don't have to wait in line while hundreds of priests scramble to do those things on our behalf. We as Christians have it so much greater. We don't have a sacrifice which can no longer take away sins, as the writer in Hebrews says. We have a sacrifice that can take away our sins. It has taken away our sins. And this is what makes the New Testament sacrifice infinitely better than that of the Old Testament. I want to end. I want to sing that song one more time. And then after that, we're going to... I'm going to say a very few remarks, and then we're going to offer another invitation. Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that you would do just as I will? Would you be light in life and love my word fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be so one with you that I will do just as you will. Yes, I'll be light in life and love your word fulfilled. In closing, I want to read one more passage. And this passage, I think, is so important because we may think that we can do it apart from Christ. Maybe we turn our backs on Christ. But this passage demonstrates to me that, again, something we should all know by now, that there is no chance separate and apart from Christ. Absolutely none. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if you want to read along. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the word of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the spirit of grace? If you're here tonight and you have not accepted Christ as your sacrifice, if you have not been giving yourself to God as your sacrifice to God, maybe we can help you with that. Maybe we can help you. We can help by studying. We can help by immersing you into the water, and you can be risen to walk in Christ. And then the sacrifices that you offer to God will be pleasing, will be acceptable to God. If you're here tonight and you have not been baptized, or if you are struggling with giving yourself to God, please come as you sing the song that's been selected.